Well, glory to God. Great testimonies this morning. And it is amazing how God created these creatures like the parrot, and they can actually talk. They can speak words. That's a miracle of God right there. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. For our final hymn prior to this morning's message, let's open up to 88. We'll stand for hymn number 88, and I love singing this hymn. Because the day is coming when you and I, when with all the saints, will gather at the river above, the river of God. Psalm 63 calls it the river of God. And we're going there. Praise God for it. We're going to sing the first, the third, and the fourth of hymn 88.
Gather at the river where bright angels meet at God, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God. Oh yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the by the throne of God. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and a crown. Yes, shining river, soon the pilgrimage will see it. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the
sir. Please be seated, church. Ah, good singing this morning. And so good to know that we're not spinning our wheels here. We're not beating the air. We will gather at the river of God one day. That's why we're here this morning. We're on our way to heaven. Amen. Good news, church. Got one amen on that. Well, praise the Lord. We'll sing again in a little bit. But in the meantime, let's grab our Bibles at this time, folks. Grab our Bibles and please open up to the Matthew's Gospel this morning. Matthew chapter 13, and who can tell me what Matthew chapter 13 contains, please? The what?
Born again.
The what?
Must be born again.
The parables of the kingdom, right. The parables of the kingdom. And of course, there are nine of them. And the reason that the Lord Jesus here in Matthew chapter number 13 is giving the parables of the kingdom is because of something that occurred in the previous chapter. If you know anything about your Bible at all, you realize that in Matthew chapter 12, the Messiah is officially rejected by the Jewish leaders, religious leaders. And because of that rejection, Jesus Christ goes into the kingdom parables, saying that there will be a kingdom throughout the church age, the kingdom of God, which is now spiritual and is within you. The visible coming literal kingdom of God is coming shortly to planet Earth when Messiah will reign for 1,000 years on the throne of David from Jerusalem. We know that. But here we find in chapter number 12, look with me in chapter 12, Jesus Christ comes to his own receives him not, and we find in verse number 34 his answer to their rejection of his messiahship. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And he says that that they have rejected him as their Messiah, and therefore he has rejected that generation. Now, what this is called, folks, is the unforgivable sin. There is no unforgivable sin today under grace. Any sin can be forgiven. Why, you hear some type of a Satanist coming out of that Satanism and getting saved, a witch getting saved. Well, they blaspheme the Holy Ghost, and yet they got saved. Why? Because the unforgivable sin is not for a Gentile. The unforgivable sin was committed by the Jewish generation of Jesus Christ's day. When they rejected the Messiah, it became unforgivable. And he said, this generation seeketh after a sign, chapter 12, right around verse 36, and there shall be none given to it except the sign of Jonah. And then he tells them, just like Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, so shall the Son of Man be. And he shall rise again. He says, that'll be a sign for you. But they rejected him, folks. And that generation committed the unpardonable sin. So we come to chapter 13. In chapter 13, Jesus Christ begins to preach 9 incredible parables of a kingdom that would exist throughout the age of grace. And its kingdom is invisible. It's within you. Amen? It's full of peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And look with me here. In Matthew 13, we'll begin reading at verse 24. I want to speak to you this morning a sermon I've entitled The Two's Parable. The Two's Parable. In Matthew 13, 24, we read, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Drop down to verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house. Now notice here, in these verses that we have read, there are a bunch of twos. There are a bunch of twos, a bunch of pairs in this parable. And that's why I've entitled it The Two's Parable. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for this incredible portion of Holy Writ. And Lord, how we thank you that after you spoke it, verse 36 says you went your way into the house to let the people ponder the words of God concerning this kingdom. Lord, I thank you for the twos of this parable. There are so many. And Lord, as we glean into it this morning and look and behold, I pray you'd open up our eyes to understand the truths of this parable, what they meaneth. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. 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 I'd ask you to listen closely this morning, beloved, as we explore what I call the Two's Parable. The reason for this title is because I find that it is full of twos. It reveals two sowers. It shows us two growths. It describes two policies. It declares two faiths. And the really interesting thing about this parable is that it includes all people from all ages of world history falling into one of these two categories.
So listen carefully today and learn first from the two's parable that there are two sowers. The first two I see is two sowers. Look with me at verse 24 as we get going. Verse 24 we read, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. Look at it. Tares amongst the wheat, and went his way. Now in verses 24 and 25, clearly we can identify two distinct sowers. See that? One is sowing good seed. Very good. One is sowing evil seed, and very evil. Now notice here that Jesus Christ himself reveals the two sowers to his, let's call them planters, because a sower is one who plants seed and then something grows from it, right? Now, notice they're both busily sowing their seed. There's a good sower and there's an evil sower. One sows good seed, other sows bad seed. Let's look at them. First, the good sower. Look with me again at verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Here we find the good sower sowing good seed. Drop down to verse 37. In his explanation, interpretation of the parable, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is who? The Son of Man, Jesus Christ. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Notice, the good sower sows the good seed and he identifies who they are. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, of the good sower. This good sower is plainly identified to be the Son of God. He's a holy planter. And as the planter of all good, he does his work openly in the sight of all. That's because it is the nature of good and truth to be open and unashamed. Look at the seed. Verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Wow. I love it. Jesus says, the seed that I plant is my children. Those who receive me as their Lord and Master, their Savior from sin, become good seed. Good seed in my kingdom. Listen to me, beloved. You are already in the kingdom of God. You don't have to wait till we hold your funeral, put your 6 feet under. You are already part of the kingdom of God because you are good seed. You have believed on Jesus Christ unto salvation, and you are now in his field, and you are good seed. The devil can't change that. He knows it. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 16 quickly. Hold your place in chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 16, let's see this good sowing, this good sower, and the seed he sows. Let's look at it. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus Christ says, my kingdom is my people. The good seed that I sow, my disciples, my church, my good seed. Oh, I got good news this morning, folks. If you're saved, you are the good seed from the good sower. He planted you. He planted you. Don't look for another church. Don't look, oh, where should I be? Just stick with the place God's appointed you. Why? He's planted you there. Amen? As good seed. But then, that's the good sower. But then there's I see another sower. He's an evil sower. Back to chapter 13. Let's look at the evil sower. Notice in verse 24, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat and went his way. But drop down to verse 37 again. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Wow. Did you see what Jesus Christ said in the interpretation of the parable? He says, I'm the good sower, the Son of Man, but there's an enemy of mine who is the devil who is sowing evil seed. Now, folks, listen carefully. This evil sower is so malignant, he sows bad seed in the good field. He's the common foe of all good. And notice how he shows up after the good sower plants. See that? After the good sower planted the good seed, then cometh the wicked one. Do you know what happened in Genesis chapter 1? God created everything. And down around verse 26 it says, and when he had made an end of creating all things, he said, behold, it is good. Very good. There was no sin, there was no devil, there was no corruption, there was no curse. It was beautiful and it was good. What happened in chapter 3? The enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat. And ever since Genesis chapter 3, the enemy has been sowing evil seed in the world. Jesus identifies him in verse 38. Now, notice how and when he does this evil sowing. Back to verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came. You know what I'm afraid of, church, today? I'm afraid that too many of God's people are spiritually asleep. I mean, we need to wake up and get busy for Jesus. Because while we sleep, the enemy is active. He's busy. He's sowing more and more evil. Have you noticed lately the darkness growing around us? Hello, they found a young man decapitated yesterday in Massachusetts. I'm telling you, this morning a woman in Massachusetts murdered her own 3-year-old toddler, little girl. Little girl, killed her. What is happening, folks? I'll tell you what's happening. The devil is sowing evil seed. You and I need to counter it with the light of Jesus Christ. He does his evil sowing while men sleep. Oh, yes. He likes to work under the cover of darkness, incognito. He's stealthish. He doesn't want you to know what he's doing. Why? Because it's evil. And if it was came to the light, he'd be exposed. Now, because of his falsehood, his evil and sin, he's cowardly. He does his work under the cover of night. Now, look at verse 18 in chapter 13. Notice this. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Wait a minute. Are you telling me, Pastor, that the devil can snatch something out of a human being's heart? Yup. Yup. That's what Jesus said. Look at it. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And verse 19, it says the devil came and he snatched up that good seed that had been planted in the heart of that person. 1 John chapter 3. Flip over quickly to 1 John chapter 3. I want to show you how the evil sower works and operates. In 1 John chapter 3, this couldn't be any clearer than the apostle beloved John makes it. 1 John chapter 3, look with me at verse 11. John says, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, Abel. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were what? Evil. And his brother's righteous. Notice that the evil sower was there in Genesis chapter 4. And he got the seed of Cain, which he sowed, to murder the good seed, Abel, which God sowed. You see that? This has been going on for 6,000 years. And I'll tell you right now, church, there is a battle for who's going to be Lord. And very shortly, Jesus Christ is going to show, by his glorious appearing, who is that Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We win. Good news, church. But the evil sower, Cain, was sown. He was planted by the devil, and he killed his own brother. Why? Because his sower was evil. Wow. He was evil seed. Listen, in Crewe, England, in 1963, a little muskrat, you see a muskrat? They're nasty little things. A muskrat started a chain of disasters when it burrowed through an embankment of the English water canal, causing the bank to collapse. Listen, about 3 million gallons of water suddenly rushed through the 40-foot gap, draining the canal dry for 7 miles. The surge of water swept away over 1 million fish, flooded over 200,000 homes in England, drowning thousands of cattle and livestock, while carving a 20-foot gorge through adjacent farmlands. That little muskrat did a lot of damage underground. That's exactly how the evil sower operates. Under cover of darkness. Doesn't want you to know what he's doing. Doesn't want you to know what he's up to. But he's sowing evil in the world. He'll do it until Jesus comes. We need to be on guard against the evil sower. There's only two sowers. There's a good one and there's an evil one. But something else this morning. There are two groats. In this parable, I see two groats. Back to our text, Matthew chapter 13. Look with me, beloved, at verse 26. I want you to see there's two groats. 26. But when the blade was sprung up, what blade? The blade of the good seed, and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Now, listen very carefully, beloved. These two kingdoms, one made up of the children of God, good seed, the other made up of the children of the wicked one, evil seed, are currently in a state of growth. Are you listening? The devil has a kingdom. Hello! We're not playing church here. The devil has a kingdom called the kingdom of darkness. Okay? It's real, it's literal, and it's growing. Satanism is the fastest growing religion, quote unquote, in America. What? That's right, Satanism. It's witchcraft, the occult, all these things are on an increase, folks. Why? Because the devil's kingdom is growing. There's two growths taking place. It's like this. You have a great wheat field, and that wheat field is growing good wheat, nutritious, good for the soul, right? And amongst that wheat, you've got tares. What are tares? It's weeds. That's weeds. It's chaff. It's worthless. But you know what? It's amazing how much they look alike. Now, there's good growth and there's evil growth in verse 26. First, look at the good growth. Verse 24. We read, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Beautiful. Verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up, it brought forth fruit, wheat, beautiful. Now, go with me to verse 31. Look at this. Another parable putting forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, there's that word again, it is the greatest amongst herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches of it. Now, verse 32 says, it grows and becomes a great tree. See, the Church of Jesus Christ, beloved, has been expanding for 2,000 years. It's never diminished. It's always gone upward and onward and expanded bigger. Now, souls have been getting saved and making increase to the body of Christ. Okay? good seed for 2,000 years. In Ephesians 2:21, don't turn there, Paul said, in whom, in Christ, all the building, the church, fitly framed together, what's the next word? Begins with a G. Groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. We're growing. The kingdom of God is growing. I got good news this morning, church. I know we're a minority. I know we got empty pews in church this morning, but don't you fear, don't you be discouraged, because God's kingdom is right on schedule. It is growing. He's coming back for us. Amen?
Amen.
It's good growth. We also are growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Son of God, our Savior Jesus Christ. But I see an evil growth. That's the good growth. But how about the evil growth? Back to our text. Look at verse 24 again. Verse 24. Kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat and went his way. Verse 26. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Verse 30. Jesus says, let both the good seed and the evil seed, the wheat and the tares, grow together until the harvest. Notice here that there's two growths taking place. There's good growth and there's evil growth. Folks, now, just like the church, the kingdom of God's Son has been growing and enlarging in the world for two millenniums. So has the evil kingdom of the wicked one been increasing as well. Do you know why we have terrorists in the world? Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Hezbollah, Hamas, all these evildoers of Iran, and these wicked, dark countries who hate Israel and seek her destruction? I'll tell you why. Because of evil growth in the world.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, folks, there are dictators, communist leaders, and presidents of countries in this world who are being controlled by the enemy, the evil sower. Like a puppet on a string. He tells them what to do, and they go and they kill more innocent civilians in Syria. He tells them what to do, and they increase the abortions, killing more babies. I mean, they're being controlled by the evil sower. That's why we have terrorists in the world. That's why we have evil all around us. Because of the growth of evil taking place in the world. Look at Matthew chapter 12 again. In Matthew chapter 12, I see evil growth. Look at verse 22. 12:22, we read. Then was brought unto him the good sower, one possessed with a devil, it's a demon spirit, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David, Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Uh-oh. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or every house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? Jesus Christ tells his disciples there is a kingdom of the devil. It's a kingdom of darkness. It's a kingdom of evil, wickedness. Verse 27, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Notice that Jesus says, if you're not part of my kingdom, which is the kingdom of God, you are part of the satanic kingdom. Amen. Folks, this is a serious message.
Amen.
Because all people in the world today fall into one of two categories. You are either in the kingdom of God and on your way to heaven, or you are in the kingdom of Satan and on your way to a devil's hell. That is frightening. Now, Macmillan said, the tares and the wheat bear a strong resemblance to each other. They both belong to the tribe of grasses, to the special group known as triticinal, or wheat-like grasses. Their structure, mode, and conditions of growth are almost identical. When in the blade, they present an appearance so very similar that the Jewish farmer who is careful in weeding his field cannot distinguish between the two. And it is only when the fruit is formed that the imposter is detected by its much darker ear. Wow, what a mouthful. He says they look the same until they're detected. Folks, you can have people who carry the Bible, they go to church, they even get baptized, but they're not saved.
Right.
Wow.
Amen.
How frightening is that? Why? Because they've been sown by the devil, and they're not saved. They've got evil growth, and they don't even know it. Wow. Two growths. But I see something else thirdly. I see another two. That is that there are two policies. Look with me quickly in our passage in Matthew 13, I see two policies occurring in verse 27. 13, 27, we read, "So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them." Now, notice carefully here in verses 27, 28, and 29 that Jesus Christ identifies two policies. These two policies are so diametrically opposed that the reapers cannot harvest them until the appointed time. Why? There's good policy and there's evil policy. What is a policy, by the way? What is a policy? According to Daniel Webster's dictionary, a policy is the fundamental constitution or frame of governing in a state or kingdom. Let me repeat that. A policy is the fundamental constitution or frame of governing in a state or kingdom. We've got good policy. Oh yeah, you got a King James Bible in your lap? You've got good policy. And if you obey it, you live by its dictates, you walk in the Word of God and absorbed by the Word of God, you will be bringing forth good fruit. I guarantee it. Why? Because the policy is according to God's Word. In the good policy. Now, there are two kingdoms, and they are governed by two opposing policies. One is good and very good. The other is evil and very evil. Let's first look at the good policy. Look at verse 37. Jesus explains the good policy. Verse 37. "He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom." Now, the children of the kingdom, listen, operate according to the rules and regulations of the governor of that kingdom, the Son of Man. He says, "I am the good sower. My seed operate and grow according to my wishes." You see it? That's good policy. They follow his policy. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Speaking of the good policy. Here it is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus said, 21, that's 7 plus 3 sevens equals 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." There's good policy right there. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," good policy, "and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. Listen carefully. Jesus says, my children of my kingdom, my good seed, they follow me. They obey my policy. They follow the good. They willingly obey the divine policy of the good sower. You see that? You know why you're saved? Because you're in church this morning. You willingly obey God. Nobody is twisting your arm, making you be here. Nobody's holding a gun to your head and threatening you. You better serve God. You better love Jesus. No. No. You willingly, from the heart, love him and follow his policy. That's good policy. But I see a bad policy, an evil one. Back to Matthew chapter 13. I see an evil policy. Look with me in verse 27 again. Verse 27 we read. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares, weeds, useless vanity? Now, in verse 27, listen carefully. Those who are sown by the evil sower will naturally obey the evil policy. What's that? To choke the good seed. You see it in verse 27? They're wrapped around the good seed so much that he can't pluck them up. Wow. Who told him to do that? The evil sower. They obey and they listen to the evil sower which sowed them. They follow anything and everything except the Bible. They will live in a state of deception and delusion because they listen to the evil sower. They grow in evil growth. And listen, they follow the evil policy. Anything the Bible says, anything the Bible forbids, they do. Anything the Bible says to do, they refuse. Why? They're following another policy, and that is of the devil. They live in a state of deception and self-delusion. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hold your place and follow me to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Serious message this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul to the preacher boy Timothy says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, that's the good and the evil, and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Good policy. Why, Paul? For the time will come, it has come, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Good policy. But after their own lusts, there's the problem, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Good policy. And shall be turned unto fables, fairy tales, evil policies. That's doctrine that says you can live like the devil. If it feels good, do it. If you got an itch, scratch it. Don't worry. Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. And they say, you'll never suffer the consequences. That's evil policy. Paul says, you better preach that good policy. You better give it to them, hook, line, and sinker. And you, listen, they turn to evil policies. The devil says, do this, they do it. The devil says, go there, they go there. Have you noticed the trend lately in the world? These groups of protesters, they're of one accord. I give them credit for one thing. They're in unity. They're in evil unity. They are together, they are organized, and they know what they're doing. But it's evil. It's evil. They're being controlled by their master, the evil sower. Do you know who owns the largest printing press in the world, speaking of evil policy? Is it the New York Times? Nope. How about the Time Life magazine? Nope. Reader's Digest? Nope. It is the Jehovah's Witnesses Watchtower Press in New York City. The biggest printing press on earth is in New York City. It stands over three stories in height. The printing press. It puts out over 500 pieces of propaganda per second. From this one press alone, JWs have put over 84 million pamphlets and books, and they produce them annually. 84 million. You know what that is? That's bad policy.
That's evil policy. It's evil satanic teachings,
doctrines of devils. It's evil doctrine. It's false teaching. Why? Because it's sown by the evil sower. We've seen that there are two sowers. There's a good sower and there's an evil sower. We've seen there are two growths. There's good growth and there's evil growth. We've seen that there are two policies. There's good policy and there's evil policy. But one final thing, beloved, and I'll be done. There are two fates. There are two fates that a man may face. Verse 30, look at it. Matthew, back to our text. Matthew chapter 13. Look with me at verse 30. Don't miss this. Jesus says, verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. What? Folks, listen carefully. Don't lose me now. Jesus makes it absolutely clear here that there are only two fates to which a soul can come. I want to focus in on these two fates in closing this morning. First, there is a fate of eternal suffering. Look at verse 30 again. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, the evil seed that the devil sowed. Watch what he says about them. Bind them in bundles to burn them. They're going to be burnt. Folks, they're going into the fire. It's a fate of suffering. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. For the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh my Lord, do you see what Jesus said? The Son of God pronounces the eternal doom of all those who choose to continue in their allegiance to the evil sower by continuing on in practice of his evil policies. He says they're doomed. They have an eternal fate of suffering. Why? Because they would not turn from the evil sower to the good sower and receive his good policy and receive good growth. How sad! Matthew chapter 18, quickly, in Matthew chapter 18, look what Jesus says in verse 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, sins. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cause thee to sin, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into what?
Everlasting
fire. Folks, that's the word of God. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Jesus says, whatever it is keeping you from the good sower and his good policy and his good growth, cut it off. Now, when he says cut it off, he's not meaning chop your arm off with an axe. He means repent of that sin. He's saying turn away from that evil and come to the Son of God. It's a type of repentance there. That's a fate of eternal suffering, folks. But I see another fate. In closing, I like this. There is a fate of eternal glory. Eternal glory. Look at verse 30 again. In chapter 13, look at verse 30. Another fate we see. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares. Bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. My barn is the special place where all the good seed are going to end up. They're going to be in my kingdom, in my personal heaven. Folks, the Lord says here that all those who are products of the good sower, who do indeed experience good growth, who are being guided and directed by good policy,
shall undoubtedly share in the eternal glory of the good fate. Yes, there is a fate of eternal glory, and you are part of it. All you who know Jesus Christ, you're born again, you're saved from sin. You've got a glorious fate ahead of you. Matthew 25, flip ahead a few pages to Matthew 25. Look at this good fate to which we are destined. Wow. In Matthew 25, look with me at verse 31. When, not if, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them. Folks, there's a great separation coming. It's coming quickly, one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning in closing that you and I have the most glorious fate of eternal glory that the world has ever known. It's eternity with Jesus Christ. It's eternity walking on streets of gold. It's eternity worshiping the King and praising Him for our eternal salvation. It's a good fate. It's a good fate. And only Jesus can give us that good fate. Long ago, an aging minister was asked to explain the doctrine of election. He paused for a moment and then exclaimed, Brethren, it's like this. The Lord, He is always voting for a man. The devil, He is always voting against the man. Then the man himself votes, and that breaks the tie. That breaks the tie. He's saying the man decides who he's going to go with. The man decides where he's going to spend eternity. The man decides who he will serve. There's two fates. Oh, beloved, the preacher was right. The question is this morning, which sower is yours? The good sower or the evil sower? Which growth are you experiencing? Good growth or evil growth? Which policy are you following? Good policy or evil policy? Which fate are you a part of? The good fate or the evil fate of suffering? Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the twos parable. Lord, I thank you that there are indeed two sowers, and one is the Son of God. Lord, I am so thankful for these shining faces I see in church this morning who have chosen that good path which shall not be taken away from them. They have chosen the good sower. They have chosen the Lord Jesus Christ. They have chosen the good policy. They're experiencing good growth, and they have a very good fate ahead of them. Lord, we are so thankful for that. But then, Lord God, our hearts are burdened for all those multitudes in the world today, billions of lost souls who are following the evil sower. They're experiencing evil growth. They're following an evil policy, and they have a very evil fate ahead of them. It's a fate of eternal suffering. Lord, our hearts are breaking this morning for those who don't know the good sower, the Lord Jesus. And our prayer this morning, O God, is that this message might impact the world for good. That many will come and become part of the good kingdom, the good sower, and be good seed. Lord, you can make that happen. Any sinner who turns to the Lord Jesus Christ will be made good seed. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of regeneration. It's a miracle of new birth, and only Jesus can give it. The question this morning is, do you want it? Do you want the good sower? Do you want good growth? Do you want good policy? Do you want a good fate of eternal glory? Because if you want it, you can have it by asking the Lord Jesus Christ to become your personal Savior from sin. Whatever it is that's causing thee to sin, repent of it Cut it off. Get rid of it. Turn away from it. And come to Jesus Christ today before it's too late. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll have an invitation, a short one. And I'd like us to open up to hymn number 235. What an amazing hymn of the faith we have here. It's a prayer. Asking the good sower, not 255. So sorry.
255.
Isn't that strange? Let me get the right number for you, folks. Yeah. Yes, Minot. 235. There we go. 235. And the altar is open if you need. I see everyone in church this morning is saved. You are good seed. Maybe you haven't been experiencing enough of the good policy. You need to get more of the Word of God, more prayer in your life. Whatever it might be, whatever the need is, you come, he'll meet you halfway. And as we sing the first and the last, pass me not, O gentle Savior, pass me not. Fanny Crosby. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry.
Praise the Lord, folks. A word of prayer before we dismiss. Father, how we thank you for a great service this morning. Lord, how we thank you for a time of drawing closer to thee. And, oh God, how we thank you that there are two sowers. Lord, they didn't have to be. You didn't have to come. You didn't have to die on the cross, Lord. You chose to do it. Lord, we thank you for that kind of love this morning. That you loved us enough to become the good sower. Thank you for that. Lord, we treasure the fact that you were willing to die for us. Lord, help us to live for thee. Through Jesus Christ we pray. The people said, amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Tonight at 6, if you're able, we will be here again worshiping the King.